Of course, our former great Australian wicketkeeper on our coverage over the last 5 days. I'm normally talking a bit of tennis with Heels and Petty Welsh up in Brisbane on, of course, SEN Track, which is a great breakfast show. And it's great to have Heels talking a bit of cricket on my show today. Ian, great to have you on. And I imagine you're taking a bit of a deep breath today. What an amazing series.
Yes, lovely to be with you, Brett, and return the favour. Great series. It probably wasn't the highest quality series, but it was a fantastic contest. And then with the fairy tale finish for India, with their ragtag 11 that they put together.
Yeah, I think contest is the word, and I sort of said it off the top of the show about an hour ago. And I love my Test cricket. I've loved cricket from since I was a young boy and playing a little bit of junior cricket way back in the day. And tennis has probably occupied a bit more of my mind these days. But you still want teams that come out to Australia, and that's been one of the hardest destinations to come and win. You want them to put up some real fight. And I said off the top, I hope that India's victory with a second string team for a large part of the series can give some inspiration to some teams in that Test Championship who are well down the pecking order, who have been well down for a long time. I talk of Bangladesh and the West Indies who are, we may never recover from a glorious era. And, Sri Lanka obviously have had a little period, but on hard times of late. But, just to have more depth in Test cricket, more nations competing harder?
Definitely. Otherwise, we're going to have to just concentrate on the top five or six and make sure Test cricket stays bubbling around, I hope the other thing I hope it inspires is Australian teams going to India. India have now won two in a row out here in Australia. That doesn't happen.
No.
So we've got to now gear up and do better in India. And at the same time, make sure we don't get too bad. We either don't panic, we make sure our development programs are still strong and we're developing performing cricketers, not just talented cricketers. We've got to perform better than we did this summer.
We should focus on the winners. We'll come back to Australia. I mean, you're right, India now with consecutive victories on Australian soil, and this one, no doubt, would mean a little bit more with a full complement Australian team than what it did without Smith and Warner a couple of years ago. And obviously mean more from their own point of view of losing their captain and losing, a lot of their key players throughout this series. I mean, it is one of the great wins in world sport, not just cricket.
Yeah, good call. They're saying the most famous Test match series win, Test match win and Test match draw in Sydney in the history of Indian cricket. Probably the history of cricket. Now you're saying in the history of sport, which I don't disagree with. I reckon that's right. You don't beat this Australian side easy. And then to have them not sort of super hungry against you and put this second 11 team up with good talent and now a rock solid composure under pressure, I reckon they probably surprised themselves. It's as big as, cool runnings, I reckon.
Yeah, I did see your tweet out yesterday on that. I think, there's so many things we could compare it to. And when you're watching that final day unfold yesterday, and India, obviously, a draw would have obviously kept the Border Gavaskar trophy in their hands. What's their strategy going to be? And, while Pujara's at the crease, so the score's never going to tick along and in a real accelerated fashion. But then they've got these shot makers who find it very hard to play within themselves. If the ball's there, they're going to hit it. Rohit Sharma at the top, and Gill played an unbelievable innings. Rishabh Pant comes in later on, and if it's in the slot, he will go for it. And it comes off more often than not. There's times when you want him to pull it back, but they've sort of got a good mix, haven't they, of guys who can play those shots and play with a bit more bravery, and the guys like Pujara, Rahane, who can occupy the crease a little bit more and play a little bit more stubbornly.
Yes, so let's break that down a little bit. They don't know how to play stubbornly yet, Pant and Gill. So the best way to have that type of person perform well is to say, get out and do what you do. We love you. You can do it. Out you go. And Shubman Gill looked like he was in a first grade match in Premier Grade cricket, while Pujara up the other end was getting smashed in the hands, in the arms, in the head. And Shubman Gill was making 91, and so that at 21 years of age, so incredible. Rahane, the captain. Well, then go to the same sort of area. But Rishabh Pant, left-handed wicket-keeper batsman. He's a villain 50% of the time, they reckon. They haven't quite worked him out over in India even, between hero and villain. Yesterday, he probably turned a lot of people to the hero side, and quite rightly so. His stroke play under pressure was incredible, and same 97 he made in Sydney under pressure too. Mm. So here he is at 23 years of age. Pat Cummins knows he has to take a risk against Rishabh Pant to try to get him out. Otherwise, he's just going to block it. So every risk Cummins took and overpitched, bang, he got hit for four. So he was capitalising on all Australia's risks because they were trying to win too. Finally, we had two teams trying to win rather than India just trying to draw. And it was a beautiful contest. And Pant won because of his courage. But he's got that courage because he's got a cricketing innocence. If he had failed yesterday, he mightn't be so composed next time, you know?
Yep.
But he's got it all so far. And then the captain, I think, after lunch, Rahane came out at a time where no one thought they were going for it, going for this 328 total. The highest score that's ever been made on last innings like that at the Gabba is 237. So they had 90 more to make. Right? But Rahane came out and started to play some shots. And that was a message to say, hang on, we're in here. So Pujara just hung in there, and these young blokes got the job done. Incredible. The last 100 runs they made look easy. It was incredible batting.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. Captivating. I was probably trying to multitask at the same time, and I find I had to put down some things and actually fully focus, because you didn't want to miss one ball. We're talking to Ian Healy, and I thought, you know, Ricky Ponting made a comment towards the end, and when it was really tight, and there were three or four runs to get, and you were down to that last three, and I think, you know, Ricky wasn't overly complimentary about bat in their hand of what they could probably produce. I mean, do you think in this day and age of cricket, Ian, I mean, it was always, you know, when I was growing up watching cricket, that we knew the tail enders were going to struggle to have any sort of impact, and they looked extremely uncomfortable out there. But do you think there's any excuse for that now in modern cricket, that the bowlers should be able to bat competently as well?
Competently, I reckon. That's about all. There's still no extra pressure than once were, you know, in my time, the tail were to be expected to be handy if needed, you know. And that's still about the same, because the top order have got to do the job. You know, if your tail is being relied on too often, have a look at your top six or your top seven. They're not doing the job. So, no more than handy, I reckon. But those all-rounders, Washington Sundar,
yeah,
the left-hander that came out to bat with Pant, how confident was he?
Yeah.
He's hardly played. So brilliant, sir.
Yeah, looked great at the level. So just from an Australian point of view, I mean, obviously, before I came on air in the last hour, plenty has been dissected on SCN during the coverage and our breakfast show, our morning show here today. A lot of passion from Australian cricket fans about our performance, whether it was from Tim Payne in the captaincy to field placings to the use of bowlers. Did our bowlers, you know, lack something not to be able to bowl out India in Sydney and in Brisbane? Obviously, our batting has been spoken about for a while, and it is a bit of a concern that we can't put together those really huge totals. So how do you sort of break it down from an Australian point of view?
All of that. So write down what you just said, Brett, and that's what Australia should have been trying. You know, should have had all those things in the gun to fire in every game, you know. If nothing much is happening down here, if the bowler's down in confidence, who else we got? I thought Cameron Green was underused. Cameron Green's got a lot to learn with the ball, but he was underused. Manus Labuschagne for two tests in a row, didn't even bowl an over round the wicket. They were two bowlers down, really, because Stark and Lyon are so insecure at the moment, or down on confidence. I've never seen it like that before. So Cummins and Hazelwood are carrying such a burden, and we're not using the other two, Labuschagne and it's even Steve Smith.
Yep.
You know, when Pujara is blocking, let's see if we can entice him into some shots. Put Labuschagne on, he'll try to slog him maybe, or Steve Smith. Bowl some bad balls and see what they want to do, you know. So all that variety and appetite when you're batting should be just what Australian teams do. This team were well below that. And whether it's COVID and the hub life that they're not dealing with, or whether it's just whether it was complacency, having got India out for 36 and they haven't played well since then. Who knows? Only the insiders will know. The strategies that you talk about, the line that Nathan Lyon was bowling was so wrong, and no one corrected it all match, first innings and second innings. That is flabbergasting to me, and you know, I don't know where that came from. So all those things should have been being thought about on the run.
Ian, George in East Malvern has called in. He does want to ask you a question. George, you've got Ian's attention here. Go for it.
G'day, guys. Good afternoon. Ian, I'm very disappointed with the Australians. I just find our cricket scheduling's totally wrong. Let me just finish and see what you can answer for me. I really think this 2020 business of cricket, we should be playing chilled cricket throughout the summer. It's so important to bring up these young up-and-coming players. And I think that's making a big effect on our cricket here.
Yeah, George, well said. Everyone suspects that is true and is right. But it's a good lifeblood for the game. But I think you're right. We've got to make some modifications. And I think we'll see them in maybe 18 months. It's quite difficult to change very quickly. I think we could, you know, the changes I'm thinking, we might have to change our test structure, you know, and Sydney test might have to change that last test. But I think we should be playing first-class cricket at least to mid-December, you know, and then you've just got the Boxing Day test and the Sydney test where you might know, where you might need some first-class cricketers as replacements for underperforming test cricketers. And then the Big Bash starts, you know, like the 10th of December, and it goes right through to February. So I think we should start it in January, early January, and finish it late January. This weekend, the Australia Day weekend, should be the final, semi-finals, and then next weekend you play the Big Bash final, and it's done. So we can make that more concise. Players, therefore, international players don't have to come over Christmas. They can stay in their hometowns and home countries for Christmas with their families. That would make the Big Bash more attractive to come to.
Yep.
And we can play first-class cricket a little longer, or almost up to Christmas, if you like. And then we've got our test replacements, or the test bench, really in form, playing the right format of cricket. So good on you, George.
Yeah, good call, George. Plenty to think about. No doubt, as I always do, Cricket Australia will review the summer and the schedule, and all of that makes a fair degree of common sense.
Brett, because we've been doing this now for 10 years,
yeah.
Right? We've been misscheduling for 10 years, and in the last 4 years, we've lost at home at times. You know, that just never happened. So something has changed. It's got to be the Big Bash schedule.
Yep. Yeah, it's certainly affecting players not being able to play that that longer form of the game with a test series around it. So, Ian, one thing, just before I let you go, one thing that has certainly resonated through on our text today is Australia can't keep going back to the same well. And, you know, we've seen Wade and Head in the middle order, and then Marcus Harris gets another stint to play as an opener. I mean, where do we sit just with our best 11 at the moment? And I suppose looking beyond that into first-class cricket of who is the next cab off the rank?
Yeah, this is the issue. This is what George's problem throws up. We're not sure. I would like Ben McDermott and Josh Phillippe to be considered, okay? I look up Josh Phillippe's first-class record. He's averaging 28. And he hasn't made the Western Australian team this year. Ben McDermott's averaging 34. Now, those type of waiting bench players, promising waiting players, used to average 55, right? So, you know, we used to have 10 batsmen that you could call on that were averaging 50 in Shield cricket, right, ready to go,
yep.
And not getting a chance. Now our best two are averaging 30. So, and I'd accept less than 50 these days because there is a confusion of techniques in different formats of the game. So let's say if Ben and Josh were averaging 45 now, they'd be ready to go. But 28's not going to cut it.
No.
So who have we got? Don't know. Really don't know. Ben McDermott's had a sort of laborious Shield season, but made 80s and 90s. There's been plenty of hundreds made, but spread around. Travis Head made a beautiful 100. So I think at the moment, where we are with the 11 is they'll hope that they come good.
Yeah,
that's what it'll be.
Well, absolutely. You can't be picking players if the numbers aren't up to it. You've got to earn your spot to wear the baggy green on a continuous basis. Thank you, Heels. Really appreciate the chat. And we have a small break. Hopefully the tour of South Africa does go ahead. Australia's got to dust themselves off pretty quickly for what is always a tough tour. And India, of course, hosting England at home. That should be a great series to take in.
Yes, and you know, the South African tour is not necessarily a tough tour. It's a great tour to be on, and this team keep getting told how tough it is over there. It's exactly like playing in Australia. So get into it, get work hard, and get your performance going. Thanks, Brett.
Thanks, Ian Healy. Beautifully said. It was great to listen to Heels, I've got to say, in the SEN commentary box over the last 5 days. And of course you can catch he and Paddy Welsh on the SEN app. SEN Track do a beautiful job there in Brisbane and on the Gold Coast with their breakfast show every morning.